Erev Tov Rabotai. So we are almost nearing the Shloshet Yemei Hagbala, which means that it's almost Shavuot. Now, unfortunately, Shavuot sometimes gets a little bit of a bad rep in terms of people say there's nothing to talk about, and there's really plenty to talk about. Obviously, pales in comparison to that of Pesach and Sukkot, but there is what to talk about. There's a lot of dinim and minhagim that are associated with Chag HaShavuot, especially this year when we have Eruv Tevshilin, because the second day of Yom Tov is Shabbat, so that's certainly important as well. So, I just want to start speaking about, I don't know if you listened to or read today's Halacha Yomit, but we spoke a little bit about Eruv Tevshilin. Now, it's important to know, you probably won't be needing to do it, because the way it works is per household. There's one Eruv Tevshilin that's necessary per household. Even if there's 100 people in that household, anybody in there is included. Same thing in, let's say, hotels. Sometimes there's Pesach, we also needed Eruv Tevshilin. So even if there's hundreds of people or thousands of people eating from that food, one Eruv Tevshilin suffices for, even though it's not a household, but at the end of the day, everybody's Samuch al Shulchan Echad, which means everybody's eating from the same table, eating from the same food, so it would suffice. Go ahead.
What happens if someone that just got married this past week and just moved into his house?
Okay.
Does he have to do...
Depends where he's spending Yom Tov. I'll explain. The Chachamim in Masechet Bitzah explain that it is asur, meaning it's mutar to cook on Yom Tov, that the Torah tells us, but the Chachamim said it's asur to cook on Yom Tov for any other day but that day of Yom Tov. Meaning, even certainly to cook from Yom Tov to Chol, or even from one day of Yom Tov to the second day of Yom Tov, which means at the end of the day you're still cooking for Yom Tov, but it's a little bit of a, you know, it's not nice. It's bizayon to the Yom Tov to be cooking on one day for the next. Yeah. So therefore, the Chachamim said you can't do that. Even Yom Tov leShabbat, the Chachamim, even though the Kedusha of Shabbat is greater than that of Yom Tov, nevertheless the Chachamim said it's asur. But with an Eruv Tevshilin, the Chachamim said mutar. Because an Eruv Tevshilin, what it does is, it acts as though you've started the cooking before Yom Tov, and now you're just continuing into Yom Tov. And therefore, la'alacha, over there the Chachamim say, when you're cooking on the first day of Yom Tov, on Friday, it's not that you're cooking on Yom Tov, just finishing off what you started before Yom Tov. That's the, you know, the mechanics of the Eruv Tevshilin. Now, the Gemara tells us what is an Eruv Tevshilin. Meikar Adin, all you need to do in Eruv Tevshilin, Minashon Tevshil. All you need to do is one cooked food, the minimum size of a kezait, and you're done. You don't need to do anything else. Bread is a chumrah, according to the letter of the law. Even if you prepare an Eruv Tevshilin that consists only of a cooked food, you're allowed to cook and bake and whatever. Minhag has become, some Rishonim say, that you should throw in some bread as well. Why? The bread represents any baking that you want to do on Yom Tov. The cooked food represents any cooking that you want to do on Yom Tov, and then you've covered all your... Befarmain. That was a good one, right? It's 2 points for me. Yeah, no. I said it good? Okay. Yeah. Oh, so the Ben Ish Chai explains that the reason why they took an egg obviously is a kazait. An egg is actually more than a kazait. How big is an egg?
Kabitza.
Yeah, interestingly enough. So, which... anyway. But, yeah, an egg is a kabitza. So certainly it has a kazait. It's machloket rishonim, but according to Maran HaShulchan Aruch, a kabitza is double kazait. So you're for sure good. Why did they take an egg? In those times, now, don't forget the function of the Eruv Tevshilin. A person is only allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbat, meaning on Erev Shabbat on Friday, as long as the Eruv is around, which means it has to be still in existence. As opposed to, if let's say it gets lost, or eaten, or rotten, such that it's not edible anymore, not allowed to cook anymore. In those times, sometimes, now this year, we have a 2-day Yom Tov, which means there's only 1 day before Shabbat. Sometimes in Chutz La'aretz, you can have 2 days of Yom Tov before Shabbat. Which means, this year we're doing the Eruv Tevshilin on Thursday. Sometimes, some Yamim Tovim, you have to do the Eruv Tevshilin when?
On a Wednesday.
So now, according to this, what happens, in those times they didn't have refrigerators, if you take a piece of meat or fish or whatever and you leave it out, especially in climates like in you know, Middle East or stuff like that, it can go bad very quick. And if it goes bad before you've done all your Shabbat cooking on Friday, you can't do it anymore. Alach, you lost the opportunity. Therefore, the Chachamim said, you know, I have an idea. What's an example of a cooked food that, you know, it's pretty shelf stable for a little while? Egg, hard-boiled egg, doesn't really need to be refrigerated. Eventually it'll go bad. But it stays pretty good for, you know, for a nice amount of time. And the Chachamim said, okay, use that. The Ben Ish Chai actually says that. Maran Zichron Lebracha, in Chazon Avadia Yom Tov, I don't want to give anybody my back, but Chazon Avadia Yom Tov, yeah, no, it's okay. Leave. The Chazon Avadia Yom Tov, he says nowadays that we have refrigerators, mitzvah min ha-muvchar, you want to be mehader ba-mitzvah, and egg is okay. But if you want to be mehader, you take something chashuv, take something nice. Huh? Because it's been ingrained since the times of the Ben Ish Chai. But really, if you want to be mehader ba-mitzvah, take a steak, take mashu chashuv meod. Then you put it in the fridge and then you take it out for one of the Shabbat meals.
People, I mean, people will be tempted to eat it on Friday.
You can eat it on Friday, just as long as you've done your cooking. Or leave a kazait. A kazait of the Eruv has to be around, still in existence, for any cooking that you want to do, still on Friday. If you're done all of your Shabbat cooking, go ahead, eat it. That's why the minhag became to eat it davka on Shabbat. Because on Shabbat, you got to be done your all Shabbat cooking, because otherwise, you'd be chayav skila. That's not fun. Yeah. So, therefore, the chachamim say, the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Even if a person doesn't eat the eruv, yetzai dechova. There's no chiyuv to eat the eruv, just chibuv mitzvah. So therefore, the minhag became to eat it during one of the seudot Shabbat. Seudat, seudah rishona, shniyah, shlishit, whatever it is. Yeah. So, some people bedavka eat it seudah shlishit, no such. Any one of the seudot on Shabbat is beseder. Now.
Well, technically, you could cook a whole pot of food or whatever it is, put it in the fridge, and keep it for Shabbat.
Excellent. As the Eruv?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, no, 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 no.
Why not?
Well, this has to be before Yom Tov.
You cook it on Eruv Chag?
No problem. You're fine. Absolutely fine. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have to have one kavana to cook? And two, how much of a shear does each person need to have Eruv Hashem?
One kazait covers the entire whole and the
one
entire house.
One person, one kazai, everybody.
Meaning, this a house. The Torah understood that not everybody in Am Yisrael is cooking. And the Chachamim understood that too. There's probably one cooking being done per household, and therefore, you're allowed to be somech on that. Anybody who's somech on that shulchan, anybody who's eating there, anybody who's living there and eating there, let's say you're a guest, you know, your parents or in-laws or whatever, and you're staying there. You don't live there, but you're staying there for Yom Tov. As long as the Ba'al HaBayit or Ba'alat HaBayit can also make an Eruv Tavshinim, by the way. It's mitzvah al Ba'al HaBayit, but if the Ba'al, let's say the Ba'alat HaBayit, the lady of the house, sees that the husband's, you know, Ba'olam shekulo Shabbat u'mnucha l'chaya olamim. So, you know, so she wants to grab the mitzvah. So she does it, it's okay. She's Yotzeh as well, yeah.
Why do we make a matzav out of it if mitzvah Rabbanan, like mitzvah, like for mitzvah de Rabbanan, and mitzvah in a tzricho kavanah, like... Why do we have to say, like, oh, explicitly we're going to put this pot as the one that's Eruv Tavshilin, we're going to say a bracha on it?
It is a mitzvah. Eruvin, Eruv Tavshilin is a mitzvah mid Rabbanan, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvit. Meaning there's no mitzvah to go out there and do an Eruv Tavshilin. We make a bracha on it. If you don't want to cook on Yom Tov, which is another thing I wanted to get to, if you're not cooking on Yom Tov, you don't need to make an Eruv Tavshilin. There's a machloket rishonim, whether or not hadlakat haner, you have to light Shabbat candles, nachon? On Erev Yom Tov. Yes? Friday, Yom Tov, you're lighting Shabbat candles. Yes? Do you need an Eruv Tavshilin for that? To transfer a flame from one candle to another. Machloket Rishonim, Da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch is that you don't need. Ken Da'at Rambam. You don't need an Eruv Tavshilin to light a candle. Therefore, there's many people, myself included sometimes, you know, not everybody always cooks fresh food on Friday for Shabbat. Some people, either they have leftovers from Yom Tov, or they prepare Shabbat food and they put it in the freezer and they take it out. Which means many a Jewish household are going to go through this coming Friday without doing actual cooking lichvot Shabbat. Nachon? Yes? Could happen. Yes? Mm-hmm. Over there, meikar adin, you don't need to make an Eruv Tavshilin at all. If you know for sure that you're not going to be cooking at all, you don't need to make an Eruv Tavshilin. Even if you want to, you certainly can't make a bracha. It's a bracha levatala. Bracha levatala, according to that. So you have to, there's many households like that. People just think like it's a text. You open up the any machzor before mincha shel erev yom tov, you see seder eruv tavshilin, see bracha, and the text, bedin eruva, yeshar eilana, levashule, ulafuye, and all the whole text over there. First of all, it's in Aramaic. You have to say it in the language that you understand. All you're saying is, with this eruv, it'll be permissible for us to cook and bake and do all of our needs from Yom Tov to Shabbat. That's the gist of the text. But you don't make a bracha unless you're cooking. So that's that. What do you want to ask?
Is it better for a male over 13 to do it rather than the father can do it?
Same thing. Same idea. Now, yeah, go ahead.
What if you're not sure if you need to cook? Do without a bracha?
Yeah, fair. As Puskim say, that if a person's not sure, safek brachot la'akin, meaning, abrachot enan me'akvot et ha-mitzvot, which means even if you didn't make a bracha, as long as you prepared the eruv tavshin, and you can cook anyway. I didn't make a bracha. Okay, it's not me'akiv. If you're not sure if you're going to cook or not, so you make the eruv, b'li bracha, and you're still covered. Yeah.
Like this Thursday, you can egg, boil it, leave it out the whole time.
And it doesn't even have to be boiled on Thursday. You can take an old hard-boiled egg out of the fridge and designate it. Cooking is nice, but it's not compulsory. You just set aside, you designate, you take a piece of bread, the size of kabitza, you take a pita or whatever it is, and you take a...
not a meal then.
Huh?
You can eat a raw egg.
Not a raw egg. No. Designate, meaning it's already hard-boiled. Let's say you have a bunch of hard-boiled eggs in the fridge. See, it's got to be cooked. It doesn't matter what kind of cooking. Cooking, frying...
baking.
No. Baking is baking. No good. No, that's for bread. Meaning if you just take bread, it doesn't help for cooking.
Oh, yeah,
if you just take cooking, if you just take an egg, it helps for both. According to Maran. In Siman Tavkuf Chavzayin. The Ikar is the Tavshin. So now, that's with regards to that. Many times, people forget. It happens. The Gemara tells a story about somebody who forgot. The Gemara in Masechet Beitzah Daf Tzayin tells a story that there was Ha'u Samya Da'avet Tana. There was a blind Chacham who was he was very... Baki, he knew all the Baraitot. He knew all the Mishnayot and the Baraitot and the Chachamim. You know, these are people, they didn't have everything written down. So you see, many times, Rabbi Yochanan, Shmuel, they used to call these people Hautana, yeah? Matne Lautana. They had these people that were Baki in all the Baraitot. So the Chachamim used them a lot for reference, yeah? Like type into these people, what does this Baraita say? They use these people, mamash like a Mafteach. Yeah. Anyway, Bikitsur. So one time, there's a story, the Gemara says it was Yom Tov, Shmuel, Namura. Where's Shmuel the Rosh Yeshiva? Remember?
Nardea.
Nardea. There were three major yeshivot in Bavel. Don't forget. Hello. The Chashuv Meod. Today's daf in Gitin Davav. Efatim. Anyway, Bekitsur, there were three yeshivot in Eretz Yisrael. Three main ones were Surah, which was Rav, Nardea, which was under Shmuel, and then Pumbedita, which originally was under Rav Huna, then became Rav Chasda, then it became Rabba, Rav Yosef, Abaye, Rava, Rav Papa. Those were the Rashi Yeshivot and Pumbedita. Those were three epicenters of Torah in Bavel at the time. The Gemara says actually in those times, the Amoraim, the main, I would say, epicenter of Torah in the world was in Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael. That's where, since the Churban Beit HaMikdash, that's where there was a lot of Torah in Eretz Yisrael too, but the main, you know, the main event was in Bavel at the time. Anyway, Shmuel saw this blind, Baraita master, and he saw it was Yom Tov, and he saw him, he was sad. So why are you sad today? Yom Tov, Samachta b'chagecha katu. Why are you upset? Yeah, mitzvah. So he says, why are you upset? So he told him, I forgot to do Eruv Tavshilin. So he told him, Al tidag. He says, don't worry, I'm the Rav Ha'ir, I'm the Rav, I'm the Rosh Hashivah, and Nardea. I made an Eruv that includes everybody. Don't worry, you can cook. Alach, samach v'tov lev. He left, he was happy. Okay, now I can go cook on Yom Tov for Shabbat. Next year, there's a sinner, I don't remember, it doesn't say which Yom Tov it was. The next year he saw him again, he was upset on Yom Tov. I said, what happened now? He said, Rabbi, don't kill me. He said, I forgot the Eruv Tavshinin again. He says, I didn't have in mind to include the Posha'im. He says, Ata Posha'a. He says, the first time people make a mistake, once. Yeah? After the first time, you should learn your lesson. Now you can't cook. Now you're stuck. So the Gemara says, what do you do? Maknekim chol acherim. There's a whole sugyan, masechet betza. What do you do if a person forgot to make an Eruv Tavshinin and he can't be mitztaref to the Eruv Tavshinin of the Gdol Ha'ir? Now, so it seems even though every Rav of the city, every Rav of a Keila makes an Eruv Tavshilin, and he includes, there's a Seder about how to include everybody in your Keila, everybody in the city, but it seems from the Gemara that you can only rely on that once. After that, you're Poshel. Many Poskim disagree with that. Many Achronim Piskei Tshuvot in Siman Tav Kuchav Zayin brings down that some Poskim say that that only applied to Shmuel, because Shmuel said Beferush that he didn't have in mind to include the Poshim. But nowadays, the Rabbanan know, the Chachamim know that there's a lot of Poshim out there. There's a lot of people who make mistakes twice, three times. Some people don't ever learn their lesson. So as long as the Chacham has in mind, even for the Poshim, they're included. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. It's always a mitzvah to do it yourself. But at the end of the day, if you want to be somich on the Eruv of Rav Ha'ir, all the Rabbanim today say they include the people who forgot, and the Poshim, the Chattaim, the Kulam. Yeah. Yeah. Never. Once per lifetime. Yeah. Once per lifetime. Now, yeah. Daniel from the filter, seven? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
How is it working? How is it making it so you can cook on Shabbat?
Not on Shabbat, Khalila.
Sorry, not for Shabbat.
So that's why I said before, the Chachamim looked at it as, since you prepared it from before, you started the process, the cooking, you started on Erev Yom Tov, and now you're just putting the finishing touches. The Chachamim said you can't start cooking on Yom Tov le Shabbat, but to finish the Beseder.
What is finishing? We started before Yom Tov, have anything to do with Yom Tov?
What do you mean?
As in,
meaning,
you can cook for Yom Tov, but something that was for before Yom Tov.
But who said that? Who said you can't cook? Now, I want to make something clear. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Pesachim, you ready? If I do melacha, shelo letzorech ochel nefesh on Yom Tov, now again, according to Bet Hillel, we have mitoch, but put that aside for a second. If I cook, let's say I'm bored, and I'm not hungry, and I have zero purpose for this right now, and I cook a whole pot of food on Yom Tov. Asur or motar?
For no reason.
Bevadai she'asur. Is there malkut or not?
No.
Machloket Rabba v'Rav Chasda. Sound familiar? Ho'il ve'im mekal'ai orchim. We hold.
Wouldn't it also be a debate of Rashi and Tosafot on the Amud Aleph?
Regarding?
Because one of them holds that it is a isu doraita, one of them holds that it isn't an isu doraita.
Cooking on Yom Tov?
Yeah, no, like just tzorach, and they need a tzorach ktzat.
Tzorach ktzat, that's a different story. That's for mitoch. That's a Rashi and Tosafot also on Ketubot Dav Zayin. But now listen to Alo, takshiv. He says, the Rav Ha'ir encompasses everybody. That's that. Another thing with regards to Eruv Tavshilin, like we said, you have to make sure to put it in a way, to put it away in a place that it's not going to get mixed up. So label it or put it somewhere designated, because if sometimes just mistakenly, oh, take it out of the fridge on Thursday night already, or Friday morning, you're done. You can't do that. Now, the Bet Yosef brings down that even though with Eruv Tavshilin, what time of Friday are you allowed to cook? All day long, technically, until Shkiah and then Shabbat. But the mitzvah min ha-mufchar is to do it as early as possible, so that you can have the point. Why do the Chachamim want us to be cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbat? Because it detracts from the kvod of Yom Tov. You're not going to be busy doing other things that you're supposed to be doing for Yom Tov. So finish your Shabbat cooking pretty early, and then kacha ta'ase, you know, then you'll have the rest of the day panui for Limud Torah and for other things that you want to do on Yom Tov. Yeah. Yeah, that's a chana. That the Chachamim said is mutar, because second day of Yom Tov, you can do it now. But Shabbat, you can't do it then. Hem amru v'hem amru. The Chachamim said, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbat. But they said, here's a caveat, here's a Eruv Tavshinin to make it mutar. Because there's no other way. What do you need to, oh, just wait for Shabbat. You can't do it on Shabbat. You can't cook. Tzach le'achol. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you didn't, like the Gemara says, Mi she'tarach be'ayrev Shabbat, yochal b'Shabbat. Mi she'lo tarach be'ayrev Shabbat, ma yochal b'Shabbat. It's a mashal. That Gemara is mashal to what? Olam hazeh ve'olam haba. But this world is ayrev Shabbat. Olam haba is Shabbat mamash. B'zat Hashem, tomorrow afternoon we'll continue with some הלכות אל מנהגים of שבועות itself, so this was a bad Eruv Tavshilin. לילה טוב.
If someone wants to just cook everything before the chag,